More and more of us are using generative AI, things like ChatGPT, to help us out on a daily basis. It can be very helpful in carrying out tasks we'd rather not do ourselves, but new research has found that it may also diminish our creativity. Anil Doshi at University College London and Oliver Hauser at the University of Exeter are behind the study, and I've been speaking to them.
So when we first heard about this new technology, generative AI, which is really a very powerful, potentially powerful technology that allows you to generate content at the click of a button, when this came onto the scene about 2 years ago, we got very excited to ask, how would that actually affect how people think about creative problems, and would it make them more creative in solving some of those problems, maybe become a bit more creative in writing and expressing themselves?
Creative or productive, Oliver? Because people have argued that both could happen. It could unlock our creativity and make us do new things. Or on the other hand, it might just mean we do the old stuff faster.
I think both is possible. We didn't go in with a particular hypothesis saying one or the other, but we did think creativity, which is so fundamental to a lot of activity in the economy, whether that's being a writer, whether it's being a scientist, or whether it's somebody who just innovates something completely new, creativity is fundamental to that. And we didn't focus on the speed at which it's done, but how creative and novel it would be.
How did you do it, Anil? What was actually the experimental method?
So we run an online experiment using participants from an online source. We wanted to target a wide variety of people with different skills. And we asked them to write a short 8-sentence story. So it's a written task. So you can imagine we asked something like, write a story about an adventure on a different planet. And what we do is we randomly assign our writers into one of three conditions. So in the human-only condition, we have them only have the writing task and the text box to write their story. And then we have two AI idea conditions where they can ask for a 3-sentence idea for a story. And so in the first condition, they can ask for one of those ideas. And in the second of the AI conditions, they can ask for up to 5 of those AI ideas. And the reason why we have two AI conditions is it was not clear to us before the fact whether one idea could kickstart your creative process, or having multiple ideas would either, you know, further boost your creativity or create kind of a muddled situation where you're getting too many similar ideas from AI. So we have these three conditions, and our writers are randomly assigned into one of these three conditions. And then we pass those stories on to a set of third-party evaluators who are not told whether or not the writers got AI assistance. And we ask them to evaluate the story on a variety of measures, two particularly related to creativity. One dimension was novelty, and the other was usefulness, which essentially is the story up to task. Is it useful for the purpose of being a story for young adults? Along with a number of other dimensions of writing quality, emotional responses, whether there's a plot twist and things like that. So we had these outcomes from the third-party evaluators, and we also used natural language processing techniques to assess how similar the stories might be to one another in each condition.
And Oliver, did it help having access to AI? Were they more creative, more productive? Did you get better results?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, better comes in a variety of different ways. So I would say a little bit yes and a little bit no. The yes means, in the sense that we have on the outcomes that Anil described, we find that on novelty and usefulness, people score on average a little bit higher. And that is, you know, good for that individual because they have a little bit more creative stories. We also find they're a bit more well-written, a little less boring, and have a plot twist. However, just because on an individual level, the stories are a little bit more creative doesn't mean it's all good. Because when we think about a collective, which means we look at everything that's been produced in this study, we can make another analysis. And that allows us to look how similar are these stories to each other. And if you think back, in one condition, people only had access to one AI or to 5 AI conditions. But as soon as they had access to any AI condition, we find those stories become more similar to each other, which means that we don't have as much novelty in this group of people and potentially in society once they are anchored on the ideas that AI is giving them. Whereas if you think about the human-only condition, it's different. It's that the ideas are a bit more varied. They're less similar to each other. They may not always be as good, but they certainly have a bit more variety and diversity.
These were just members of the general public, weren't they, Anil? So would this be the same if we did this with professional writers? If you took Charles Dickens and set this task for him, do you think he would be aided and abetted by AI? Or do you think actually if you took a professional, they would in fact end up doing what Oliver's saying and converge on very similar kind of things because their thoughts might be biased by the AI in a less creative and less novel direction?
Yes, that's a very interesting question. I'm certainly not going to put Charles Dickens on the spot here. I'm sure he would still excel in his written output. But what we do in the experiment is we are able to get a measure on how inherently creative each writer is. And since these were members of the general public, we have writers who are inherently less creative and writers who are inherently very creative. What we find is this boost in creativity that Oliver was speaking about accrues essentially to the people who are the least creative. And it accrues to them in a way that it makes their stories evaluated as being as creative as the most creative people in our sample. We don't find, however, that the creativity boost accrues to the most creative of our writers. So it has this kind of leveling of the playing field effect that we saw.
I was going to say, as you were talking, it feels a bit like a sort of leveling up. It brings up the floor, but it doesn't take up the ceiling.
We don't observe it improving most creative writers in our sample. Now, obviously, we would encourage follow-on work to think about that in more detail because we're at the first stages here of understanding how AI can benefit in various forms and flavors. So we don't find that effect, but whether it's possible remains to be seen.
What do you think the implications of this are, Oliver, more broadly? Do you think it's going to be just relevant to creative writing and people churning out short stories? Or do you think you can extrapolate what you find here to other applications of generative AI? And we might be pushing ourselves into a sort of corner with AI in this way, because it's basically using the sum total of human creativity to train these systems. So unsurprisingly, it gives us back what we've already created and we do end up without much novelty.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's so hard to extrapolate a lot from just one study. So that's something to just take as a starting point. We're one of the first studies to look at creativity, but there's more and more coming every day. And it will fill up the picture a bit more to see where this is heading. But I would say we are certainly a little concerned about the fact that, you know, if people have an incentive individually to use AI, and if that incentive leads them to use it more, but the output is, well, it's a little bit more creative for them, they might feel like this is a good thing, I'll keep using it more. But if as a whole in society, we start having less creative output, less diversity of novel ideas, it could actually not help our progress going forward with new ideas, new innovations, new writing, right? Like some of these ideas, even though we think of them, you know, looking back at history, we can now recognize just what amazing outliers they were. It's not straightforward to get those. And I think we don't want to anchor our ideas on what has been previously produced by some generative AI. And so I think there's a risk. There's a risk that we don't end up in such a diverse world of novel ideas. But whether that's going to be in the future, I think is really something to be studied more.
What do the creators themselves think, Anil? Because I know some people are a bit sniffy about using these kinds of things, and they feel that perhaps their art, their creative art, their journalism is less high quality because a computer's doing a chunk of it for them. It's a bit like saying I'm not going to use a word processor, I'm going to stick to my typewriter or my stone tablet. But do people find that they feel that it's less authentic if a computer's helped them in this way?
That's an interesting question. I'll answer that in two ways. First of all, from the writer's point of view, we asked the writers kind of where did your idea come from for their short story? And the folks who got AI assistance, even though they got the AI assistance, they would always kind of give themselves a little bit of credit as well. So they said, well, the first spark of the idea was from the AI, but really it was my idea and my development. So there is kind of this ownership aspect that you alluded to. And from the evaluator's point of view, what we find is that evaluators tend to be okay if writers are using the AI assistance, but they definitely attributed a discount in terms of how much ownership does a writer, quote unquote, deserve if they were getting AI assistance.
I wonder if that will translate into a wage cut from editors to the people who write their radio programs and their newspaper copy.
I don't want to speculate on that, but I do worry about content creators in general.
Absolutely fascinating. Anil Doshi there from UCL and Oliver Hauser at the University of Exeter. They were talking about why AI can be good for doing average work more quickly, but it won't necessarily raise the bar.